The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, a long time ago. He saw an animal that liked to growl, big furry paws, and he liked to howl. Great big furry back and furry hair. I think I'll call it a bear. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, a long time ago. He saw an animal up on the hill, chewing up so much grass until she was filled. He saw milk coming out, but he didn't know how. He said, I think I'll call it a cow. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. To all the animals in the beginning, a long time ago. He saw an animal that liked to snort, horns on his head and they weren't too short, and it looked like there was nothing that he couldn't pull. He said, I think I'll call it a bull. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, a long time ago. Saw an animal leaving a muddy trail, a real dirty face and a curly tail. He wasn't too small, he wasn't too big. He said, I think I'll call it a pig. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, a long time ago. Next animal that he did meet had wool on his back and hooves on his feet, eating grass on a mountainside so steep. He said, I'm gonna call that one a sheep. Man gave names to all the animals in the beginning, in the beginning. To all the animals in the beginning, a long time ago. Saw an animal as smooth as glass, slithering his way through the grass. He saw him disappear by a tree near a lake.
Good morning, now you can hear me. Welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. My name is Ann Rostosky, and I'm a member of the Worship Committee. Today's service was actually put together by Linda Weaver, but then later she found out she couldn't be here today. So we're conducting this in her absence for her. So welcome to everyone, the people and the pets. It's great to have you all here today. We're happy that people on Zoom are joining us as well. We're able to do that now. And wherever you are on your life journey, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, whomever you love, whatever your gender identity or expression, we welcome you into our ever-expanding circle of compassion and caring. Those of you who might be here for the first time, this is kind of an unusual service for you, maybe. We do this annually. We bring our pets and bless them. And so if you're here for the first time, I encourage you to come another time. We do have a part-time minister, Reverend Andrew Weber, and so I hope you'll try to come when he's in the pulpit. Welcome to the annual Pet Blessing Service. Once a year, we take time to give thanks and bless our companions in life. Cats, dogs, birds, chickens, turtles, fish, and so many more. This service also acknowledges that our lives are made fuller and richer by the creatures that inhabit the earth with us, not just those that live with us. Animal blessings originate out of the Catholic tradition. I believe we have it the first Sunday in October because it's near St. Francis's birthday. But now many other UU congregations and other denominations as well have adopted the practice and we've made ours a uniquely UU type of blessing. Our seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part, is the underlying motivation for many of these services. The most obvious benefits of pet ownership are love and companionship. Did you know that there are many health benefits of owning a pet as well? They can increase opportunities to exercise, get outside, and socialize. Regular walking or playing with pets can decrease blood pressure, cholesterol, and triglyceride levels. Pets can help manage loneliness and depression by giving us companionship. According to an article from Harvard Medical School, we do best medically and emotionally when we feel securely attached to another, because we're mammals, and that's the way we've evolved. We feel especially secure with dogs and cats because of the unconditional love they provide. No matter what you do or say, your dog or cat accepts you and is attached to you. Taking care of a pet can provide a sense of purpose and a feeling of validation when you wake up or come home and there's someone who's happy to see you. Really, they want food, right? The emotional benefits of having a pet can translate into physiological ones as well. There are biological brain effects that reduce stress, so it may affect your breathing rate, your blood pressure, oxygen consumption, or anxiety level. A recent study in the journal Science talked about how oxytocin is boosted in both the dog and the human when a dog owner stares into the eyes of the dog. How about that? That's really fascinating. Oxytocin is one of the body's feel-good chemicals and also plays a role in social bonding. So with no further ado, let's potty. Now, Ryan McNeil will do our chalice lighting and Corinne will be helping him. If you guys would like to come forward, please.
Where is it? We light this chalice in honor of the animal realm.
Furred and hoofed, two-legged, four-legged, many-legged, fanged and clawed, gentle and fierce, wild and tame. May we remember that all animals are our relatives, worthy of our care and respect.
Light it already.
Gina, help us.
Sorry about that. Falling down on a job here.
Never mind.
Get it?
I finally figured this out.
Get your glass thing off.
Want to do the peach?
Next slide.
Is it current? Were you going to do the peach slap or? Oh, you're just lighting.
Okay.
Where's the words for it? I can't.
I think you just say, please join us with the words on the screen.
Please join us in doing the call and response thing on the screen. May peace be with us.
Good morning. I'm Susan Hare. It does take a village, just so you know. Our gathering song today is hymn 203, All Creatures of the Earth and Sky. The words of the song are attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. He is the patron saint of the environment, as we said, and animals, because he loved all creatures. St. Francis was also among his country's rich and powerful. He was born into a 1% family, the son of a prosperous silk merchant. But on a pilgrimage to Rome, he joined the poor in begging at St. Peter's Basilica and went on to live a life of poverty as a friar. He was also an outspoken and controversial social activist. Following the song, we will be sharing a story today that has a message that's appropriate for all ages. Sit, Stay, Love by Shailene Kilduff, and that will be Manny McNeil reading the story after the song. Understanding God for
Important service to bring you the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship Comedy Club, and I would like to introduce you to Logan Enright, our headliner for tonight. So,
what do you call a cat that disappears and reappears down a dark alley? Paranormal Activity. What do you call a snake in a bakery? A python. Why did the cat sit next to the computer? To keep an eye on the mouse. Why do fish live in salt water? Because pepper makes them sneeze. Howie visits his 90-year-old grandpa who lives way out in the country. On the first morning of the visit, Howie's grandpa prepares a breakfast of bacon and eggs. Howie notices a filmy substance on his plate and asks, "Are these plates clean, Gramps?" His grandpa says, "They're as clean as cold water can get them. Just go ahead and finish your meal." For lunch, Grandpa makes hamburgers again. Howie is concerned about the plates. His has specks of dried egg on it. "Are you sure these plates are clean?" he asks, flicking off the dried food without looking up. Grandpa says, "I told you before, those dishes are as clean as cold water can get them." Later, as Howie is leaving, his grandpa's dog won't let him pass. Howie says, "Gramps, your dog won't let me walk by him." Grandpa yells to the dog, "Cold water, go lie down."
Thank you for joining us at Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist's first ever comedy club session. Another round of applause for Logan Enright. Today, this week's story is Sit, Stay, Love, Life Lessons from a Doggie. This is by Shalane Kilduff, and it's illustrated by Sally Broderman. May we not just learn life's most important lessons, but live them every day. Pay more attention to our people. Take time to rest. Find joy in the little things. May you sit longer with those who make you happy. Stay a while in the places that bring you joy, and love greater than yesterday, for the days go fast. So, there's so much to learn as you grow up. Sometimes the best lessons can come from a pup. As you get big and strong and wise, remember that courage doesn't come from your size. Do the right thing even when it's hard. Don't go with strangers and stay close to your yard. Obey authority and give respect where it's due. Always remember that God's watching you. Do your chores and pick up your mess. Give what you can to those who have less. Share your toys and take time to play. Be sure to get your rest after a long day. Whenever you can, offer lots of snugs. Give your best humans all of the hugs. Love with all you can and with all your might. Be kind to others and do not fight. Be a great listener and always do good. Never sit down when you should have stood. Guide your feet where they should go. Follow your heart and lead it so. Say your prayers every night. When it's dark, be the light. Be a blessing and help others out. That's what life is all about. Apparently this book has a free gift. The end.
Now we're going to have some sharing. Is this on? Yes. Our beloved pets. The first. Okay, I see why you're laughing now. Not at me. All anyway, apart from that. Yeah. Anyway, you can see it's Renee, and she will begin our beloved pets portion. Renee.
So as Susan said, I'm Renee. I might be crazy. I'm definitely a cat lady, but I am not a crazy cat lady. Dogs are known as man's best friend, but today I want to share how my cats have been my comfort for the last few years. I'm the proud fur mama to Moo, my beautiful 10-year-old tuxedo cat, and Luna, my silly 4-year-old gray cat. My relationship with Moo actually predates my relationship with my husband. My son and I adopted Moo right before Easter in 2015. At the time, I thought she was going to complete our family. I remember taking a family picture Easter day in our Easter vest announcing, "It's a girl." Kitten Moo was a cuddler, but as she grew older, she became a strong, independent woman, except when it was time for food. I once slept on the couch with the lights on until 3 a.m. because Moo decided it was a cuddle night and I was not missing my opportunity. Luna's gotcha day is actually this upcoming Tuesday. Oh, that's my Moo. And that photo, oh no. I'll show one. There's one where she, the 3 a.m. night where I'm on the couch exhausted. And the two cats in the center are actually my Patch and Rosie. They were two of my childhood cats who have since passed. Back to Luna. Luna's gotcha day is actually upcoming on this Tuesday. We got her on 007, October 7th. When we adopted Luna, my Poppy was recently placed on hospice. My son and I were actually getting in the car to visit my Poppy when my neighbor asked if I wanted a kitten. Anyone who knows me knows this is a trick question to me. Of course I would want a kitten. Thankfully, my now husband and I had been talking about adopting a second cat. While we all love Moo, she tends to be selective in her cuddling, and she rarely chose Tristan, my husband, so he was hoping for a snuggle baby of his own. I told my neighbor I would talk to Tristan and let her know if we wanted to adopt a kitten. By the time I was able to talk to him that night, I had a few potential names picked out and told Tristan he could veto the cat and the names out of courtesy. Thankfully, he knew the correct answer to "Can we adopt a kitten?" and "What do you think of the name Luna?" So a week later, after her new litter box arrived, we went to pick her up as our new kitty, and we brought Luna home. I nicknamed her my Poppy Cat because she provided joy and comfort while I was losing my grandfather. We quickly fell into a nighttime snuggle routine. The numbers of photos that Tristan has on his phone of us both sleeping is both creepy and endearing all at the same time. Luna's love, affection, and comfort continued through my husband's struggles with alcohol, his job loss, and everything that has affected our family at the beginning of 2025. While processing my husband's addiction, he was asked to identify my supports and the comforts that I've had in recent years. And the first thing that he named were the cats, and specifically Luna's nighttime snuggles. I'm grateful to say that while 2025 has turned around for us in ways I didn't think were possible, Luna and Moo still regularly snuggle with me. While Luna and Moo are not the best of friends, and Luna fully embodies being an annoying little sister, Luna has inspired Moo to get back to her snuggle baby roots. There are even rare occasions that I can get both girls on the couch with me. I truly believe that if you say you aren't a cat person, you haven't met your cat yet. Cats are so emotionally intuitive and comforting, their purrs are healing, and their love is lasting.
I have to wait for the show to be over first here. That's great. I don't think it's going to be over, right? It's going to keep going. Okay. Okay. All right. The second one is Karen Kaiser.
Just going to wait to see what order the slides are in so I know what to say. Oh, it's the right slide. So Lovey came into our lives as a direct result of Thomas Paine. So, which is why of all of our cats, I chose to feature her. I could have talked about any of them, but given her connections to this congregation, I felt it was most appropriate. So I joined back in 2010, and for my first pet Sunday, I did not at the time have a pet. I've had cats in the past, and a previous cat before Lovey had died a few years prior. And we just weren't ready to welcome another one into our house quite yet. But when I was here, I had for Pet Sunday, I had a meeting with the Reverend Bryant Brown, and I know some of you remember him. And sitting in his office after the pet service, his sweet kitty came over and wanted to sit on my lap, and I realized, oh, I want a kitty, and I knew we were ready. So for my twin's birthday, that was what we did. We adopted Lovey, this is Lovey, from Forgotten Pets. It's a rescue that was on their birthday. And the following Pet Sunday, we brought her here. And as it turned out, one of the visitors in the audience was a representative of Forgotten Cats and wanted to come up and tell me, I remember Lovey. She was so thrilled to see her here. Now, I chose this particular picture. I don't know if you can tell, these are posters about Unitarian Universalism. As it turned out, I later became very involved with religious education at Mainline Unitarian Church, and I didn't plan for her to be in this picture. It's just when I was taking the photo, she walked into it. I'm like, okay, that's an appropriate UU-themed picture. Okay, next slide. Okay, so if any of you have cats, you might be familiar with the phrase, if I fits, I sits. And a box or any small area, if the cat can fit into it, you will find the cat there. You will sometimes see like memes of like cardboard boxes, they call them cat traps, because if there's a box, the cat will sit in it. And Lovey likes not just boxes, containers, small areas, anything that's novel, any new piece of clothing, I have to sit on it before it can be used. Like warm areas, whenever the internet goes out, we go, where's the cat? Because she's always on the router and has kicked out the wires. The most recent place we found her, I went to the kitchen and found her on the toaster. So. No English muffins for me that day. But, you know, we take advantage of that. And next slide. My kids got kind of creative, you know. The cat likes cardboard boxes, we'll go with it. So they had a lot of fun, ears and all. Lovey was happy to pose for this picture. Okay, next slide. And Vienna won these fish at a local like fall festival, and we found this is great television for cats. So she's very amused with this. More or less gets along with their other cats, sometimes more, sometimes less. We can have the next slide. This is sometimes she gets along with Bentley, sometimes not, as long as he's polite and doesn't get in her face, we do okay. Now she's elderly, she's about 17 years old, about 4 pounds, and he's a big muscular boy. He's afraid of her. Like she, she keeps him in line. But Bentley, I could have easily spoken about him too. I would have liked to have brought a picture in of the Christmas tree that he destroyed. Like literally destroyed the tree that was bent, and we wound up using it anyway. A very meowy Christmas. But I remember like thinking of all the trouble my cats get into. I thought of like a key difference between dog and cat people. Like dog people will say to their dog, oh, who's a good boy, who's a good boy? And Bentley does something like that. I'm like, who's a bad boy? Bentley's the best bad boy. There's something about cat people that we really embrace the chaos, and we love our cats when they get into trouble. Although I will say, like my sister, she still loves her husky, even though he ate the recliner. Literally ate the entire recliner. Not in one sitting, but the entire recliner. Next slide. I think this is the last one. Here she is in another location she found. So if she fits, she sits. And I would have liked to have brought her in here, and she said, nah, I'm good. There's a joke that I will paraphrase. Did anyone else here bring a cat? We have one? Okay, we do have one poor kitty. Okay, but I think the reason why the dogs far outnumber the cats goes to an old joke that I will badly paraphrase, that dogs will look at their humans and say, you feed me, you give me everything I need, you must be God. Cats will say, you feed me, you give me everything I need, you must be God. I don't need to be blessed. I bless you.
Now our last speaker is Phil Manos.
Good morning. This is King, and this is Click. Interesting about that dog is I never taught him to beg. I never taught him anything. But he learned that on his own. And the strange thing about that is we had two cats, and after a period of time, the dog would be lined up with a cat on each side and they would all be begging. I don't know how he did that, but smart creatures. Anyway, this is their story, and my story too, I guess. Not a very usual pet story, but one that taught me some life lessons. King was my dog. I had 6 siblings, but he was my dog. I acquired him from my mother's friend when I was young, about 8, maybe 9, I'm not sure. My mom brought him home and handed me a six-week-old bundle of reddish brown fuzz, and that was it. He was my dog. Anyway, as a kid, I was a loner, and the pup grew up to be my most frequent companion. We went everywhere, everywhere together, a boy, a dog, the usual thing. Even when it snowed, we'd head out at dusk and walk all over the town. And it was very, very unusual, but very nice. If you know after it snows, it's very quiet. and we would walk around town, but we would go through the fields where there was nobody, and there would be just our footprints as we walked around. I loved the quiet, and after the snowfall, that's what we did. I don't like cold. I lived on a hill where everyone went sled riding. Once down the hill and into the house, and I parked on the register, we had an old coal furnace where the heat came up out of the floor, and I sat on that. Maybe I went out and did it one more time, but that was it. I never leashed my dog, although we went all over town almost every day. On one outing, Kink ran into the street and he was struck by a car. I think that was the first time I felt real fear. The car stopped, the driver got out, King was not dead, a trip to the vet and he recuperated. My life with King went on until high school. Less and less time as I got older, I became one of those idiot teenagers who got busy at school and got busy with this and got busy with that and didn't have a lot of time for my dog. And shortly thereafter, when I was about 18, he passed away. 65 years later, I never talk about King or the just guilt I always felt. Actually, there was a dog in between King and Click. Her name was Mickey. I always wanted a poodle. So gay, right? Finally, I could afford one. I learned to clip and groom her, and she was a real beauty. I really took care of that dog. She wasn't like my boyhood dog, though. Growing up, I had much less time. And about the same time, I ended up getting a divorce. I actually wanted a smaller version of my miniature poodle, which is about that big, I guess. And I made arrangements with a breeder to mate my Mickey, who was a girl, of course, female, with a toy poodle. And at the same time, I also decided to go back to school, started a relationship with a guy, and he was the reason I ended up back in school again. We lived in an apartment not far from school, but there was a fire. I ended up with my dog going into labor in a temporary dorm room. And during the night, the dog started circling round and round and round and round. I had no idea what was going on. Anyway, she had one pup, and the next day she died. That's when I learned what eclampsia was. Oh. Click has that name because he was really tiny, not this tiny, this tiny. And he made the strangest little, like, when he was hungry. So he sort of named himself. And I ended up caring for him with the help of a dear friend who lived next door. I mean, a newborn pup, can you imagine? So tiny. We had to feed him with a baby doll bottle and keep him warm. I tell you, I was pretty flaky at the time, but I carried that pup around in my pocket with a baby bottle, even to classes. That neighbor and I saved that dog, and he grew and he thrived. I don't know how we did it. I mean, I don't know how a mother dog takes care of a puppy, but somehow we managed to do it. And he grew up into a little buffer like that. Not very big. And all went well for about five months. One day my partner came home from school, accidentally let the dog out. The dog ran into the street and got hit by a car. He did not get killed, but this dog got banged up pretty bad and took him to the vet. His leg was pretty well broken and everything. The vet put a collar, a cone actually, on him to try to protect the leg, but it didn't work very well, and he ended up losing most of the leg. But that wasn't so bad because he really adjusted and got, animals do that for some reason. I had a cat that did that too. Very, very well, and he was a little dog, but he had the heart of a tiger. Well, several months later, my partner went to do student teaching in another state. I was graduating from college and totally at loss ends. I had to give up my apartment, move back to Pittsburgh and get a job. No stability in sight. My friend asked if I would consider her friend taking Click. She was half the reason he was alive. And although it was a very sad time, I said yes, I said okay. And which brings me to the fact that I have had no dog for 50 years. Every time I see the Humane Society ads, and they are heartbreaking, I think about getting a rescue dog, but I don't go. It's surely been long enough. Dogs really love unconditionally. Caring for them is a wonderful opportunity. Truth is, I don't know why I didn't or why I don't yet.
Okay, thank you, everyone. You can really see how important pets are in many of our lives. We're going to now have a PowerPoint of our pets. We are going to go through this pretty quickly. We have quite a few to show. So, Mike, we're just going to run this PowerPoint. We're not going to, you'll see them. You can read what it says. I hope the people on Zoom can see it. But I think in the interest of time, we should just run the PowerPoint. So thank you very much. Thank you. And Brian is going to introduce our video.
Thank you, Susan. Hi, I'm Brian Strawn. I'm going to introduce the next video. That's my husband over there, Dominic Scudero. And one day, AARP called and said, we want to do a video of your rescue dogs. And Dominic trains our dogs to be therapy dogs. That's Popcorn. She's in training, sort of. We'll see if she makes it. But we have other dogs that you saw, Cyrus and Deuce, that are therapy dogs. And so they came to our house and made this video of Dominic and the dogs. So without any more ado, let's roll that beautiful dog footage.
Helps people to feel. A therapy dog helps people to feel some kind of support or hope during a difficult time. Because my dogs have experienced challenges themselves, patients see a visible symbol of overcoming difficulty. I think the dogs are definitely helping people heal. Cyrus was born without front legs, so he's never known life in any other way. Deuce was found in very bad shape. His left front and back legs were broken and infected. So he had both of his legs amputated, and within weeks he was running around. Nothing stops him at all. There's another dog, Lucky. He very recently passed away. Lucky had front legs, no back legs. He was just a very bright, positive presence. Ah! This all started with a three-legged dog named Festus. I saw a post online and I instantly knew he belonged to me. That's my dog. Because he clearly went through some really difficult moments, and here he is, this cute little puppy, I thought he should be a therapy dog. And I had no idea what that meant. I just intuitively felt like this dog could be inspiring to people. After I adopted him, I researched it, we did all the training, and Festus was a very successful therapy dog. He only lived to be about 8 years old, and in his lifetime, probably visited hundreds of people. That made me feel so good, I wanted to be able to continue to do that. The best therapy dogs are ones that just innately have a calm, sweet disposition and that are easily trainable. To train a therapy dog, you need to start with basic commands, sit, stay. Beyond that, you need to have your dog under control in the circumstances of a hospital that might have a lot of busyness and noise. The dogs have to be certified not just by themselves, but with me as their handler. And I enjoy that time to work with them and teach them.
I have a spinal cord injury. It's going to be a long road to recovery, and taking 2-3 minutes to hang out with a dog, it lifts your spirits a little bit. It gives you hope. And this dog doesn't know it doesn't have two legs. The dog just goes through life. It's uplifting, and we can learn by it.
I've seen them help patients in lots and lots of different ways. The most typical way is simply getting people smiling, talking. Somehow, a dog is able to connect on a level that we probably can't understand. I believe it's a win-win-win situation when I bring the dogs into the hospital. It's a win because the patients are getting a little bit of joy for a few moments. It's a win because the dogs enjoy the attention. And then the third win is mine. I love dogs so much. And it is incredibly rewarding for me to share that love that I have with other people in a way that is healing to them. Now, dogs, come on now.
At this time, we will have the blessing of the animals. So if you're on Zoom, if you want to hold your animal up, or if you want to bring dogs to the front, that'd be a great thing to do. Here they come. Uh-oh, here comes that one. Oh, look at that little one. Oh. Look at that big one. Oh, that's so cute. Are you going to make it? All right. We'll make it happen. And there's more dog swag if you didn't get any over there, and kitty swag. Blessed are all living things. By Maureen Killeran. For the blessing of animal companions, we give thanks. For the beautiful ones, those whose fur is silky and whose tails are long, whose feathers are brilliant, or whose voices are splendid, we give thanks. For the frantic ones, the runts and the hungry, who run for a food bowl or a pat as though this is life's last possible gift, we give thanks. For the obnoxious ones, the heads that butt against us as we're trying to sleep, the bodies that refuse to learn desertion as they make digestive gifts, we give thanks. for those who bark and purr and growl and mew, for all who squawk, squeak, squickle, snarl, or hiss, we give thanks. For the animals unknown to us, those whose niche in life's web is fragile, whose lives are insecure, for all who care for them and wish them well, we give thanks. Blessed are the animals. Blessed are the creatures who live with us and need our care. Blessed are the mammals and the reptiles and the birds who teach us we are not alone. Blessed are all living things from whom we learn to love. Blessed are the animals. Please say your animal's name. Thank you, L animals. If you want to take pictures, if you guys want to stay there, help yourself to some swag provided by Linda. What do you want, popcorn?
We leave time in our service every week for those who have a joy that is lifting them up, a sorrow that is weighing them down, or another thought or concern that they have bubbling up inside them with such force that they need to bring it out and share it with this community. And as a community, we listen and we empathize as needed. So for those, both those who are here in person and those who are online on Zoom, everyone who would care to share will have an opportunity to do so. The microphone on the left side of stage, as you're facing it, will be where we head in person. And on Zoom, you can either use Zoom's raise hand feature, which you will find under the React button in your Zoom client, if you would like to be unmuted so you can speak. Or if you're not feeling talkative, you can put a message in chat and we will read it out for you. The only thing I will urge today is brevity, as we are already running a little behind on time. So that should not stop anyone from sharing, but please pick your words care. Thank you. We can bring this time of sharing to a close. In the interest of time, we're not going to have Spirit of Life or a similar song. We're going to move straight into our closing words. So back to Anne.
Our closing words for today. Animals are truly amazing creatures, full of love, loyalty, and inspiration. To celebrate these majestic and incredible creatures, let's be thankful for our furry and feathered friends and help protect them. That's why I'm a vegetarian. They show us why respect and kindness should be the norm and why we should never be afraid of any obstacles we may face. Let's take the time to appreciate their presence here today and in our lives and the lessons they can teach us. We extinguish this chalice, but not its light, which we will take with us into the world. Our closing song is Dog Hair, written and performed by our own talented Christine Winchester Perry.
I take pride in my home and keep it clean, you see. That has always been a high priority. But lately I've been feeling a lack around this place, and I think it can be only filled by a fuzzy face. I wanna have dog hair. Can be a bitch, you say. Be careful what you wish. I say, hey, when we go away, we'll just pack her bone and dish. Well, what about when they get sick? Big bucks to the vet. I say, she or he be our family, best care they can get. hot dogs and balls in every room. I wanna have dog hair. Oh. Yip, yip, yippee! For little Rex and Skippy, I wanna brush and comb someone.